I opened my mouth. But then I really thought about what he'd said. My gaze traveled to the darkness beyond the door. What he'd said actually made sense. You make it sound so easy.
It's not. It's hard and uncomfortable, but it works.
He extended his bare hand, and I looked down, staring at it, as if a dangerous animal rested in his palm. A fluffy, cute one that I wanted to pet.
And you won't be alone. I'll be there with you, and not just watching over you.
I'll be there with you, and not just watching over you. My startled gaze lifted to his face. His words struck a chord I tried to never touch. Gods, I couldn't even begin to know the number of times I'd felt alone since Ian had left, even though I rarely ever was by myself. But those around me the most were sometimes just there because they had to be. Even Tawny and Victor. That acknowledgement didn't lessen how much I knew they cared for me and how much I cared for them, but it also didn't change that while they were with me, they were sometimes not present. Nor did it change the fact that I knew a lot of it was in my head. That small, very insecure part of myself that worried that our friendship would be non-existent if Tawny wasn't my lady's maid never really went away. I worried she'd be like Dafina and Lauren and the other ladies in wait. How did Hawk know that? Or did he know I felt that way? I wanted to ask, but again, it was something I didn't like to touch or talk about. Loneliness often brought with it a heavy, coarse blanket of shame and a cloak constructed of embarrassment. But with Hawk, even in the short time I'd known him, I didn't feel alone. Could it be simply his presence? When he was in a room, he seemed to become the center of it. Or was it more? I couldn't deny that I was attracted to him, forbidden or not. And I didn't want to return to my room, left to confusing thoughts that I couldn't act upon. I didn't want to spend another night wishing I was living instead of actually doing it. Was it wise, though? If I was right about what I'd felt from him? I could have been wrong, but if I wasn't, did I have the willpower to remember what I was? I shouldn't even attempt to find out. But I wanted. Drawing in a shallow breath, I reached for his hand but stopped. If someone saw me, saw you.
Saw us, holding hands. Dear gods, the scandal.
Another quick grin surfaced, and this time the dimple appeared.
No one is here. He glanced around the hall. Unless you see people I can't.
Yes, I see the spirits of those who've made bad life choices, I replied dryly. He chuckled.
I doubt anyone will recognize us in the courtyard, not with both of us masked and just the moonlight and a few lamps to light the way.
He wiggled his fingers.
Besides, I have a feeling anyone out there will be too busy to care.
My vast imagination filled in what could possibly cause others to be too busy to care. You are such a bad influence, I murmured as I placed my hand in his. Hawk curled his fingers around mine. The weight and warmth of his hand was a pleasant shock.
Only the bad can be influenced, princess.
Chapter 24. That sounds like faulty logic to me, I told him. He chuckled as he started toward the garden archway.
My logic is never faulty.
I feel like that's not something one would be aware of if it was, I pointed out, smiling slightly. Cold night air greeted us as we stepped outside, and my heart kicked up at the familiar sweet scent of flowers and rich, damp soil. My gaze bounced around a little wildly as I looked for something to be off, to be different than last time I had been here. There had to be. Oil lanterns were spaced throughout the main pathway, but the sections that branched off were dark. The moonlight couldn't even penetrate them. My steps slowed as the soft breeze rattled the bushes and lifted strands of my hair. Hawk spoke softly. One of the last places I saw my brother was a favorite place of mine. That snagged my attention, and I stopped scoping out every bunch of flowers we passed, looking for what, I had no idea. It was like I expected to see wilted petals dripping blood, or waited for the Duke to finally make his appearance. Hawk's earlier anguish over his brother had given me the impression that this was something he didn't want to discuss. So the topic surprised me. Back home, there are hidden caverns that very few people know about. He continued, his fingers still tightly woven with mine. You have to walk pretty far in this one particular tunnel. It's tight and dark. Not a lot of people are willing to follow it to find what awaits at the end. But you and your brother did. My brother, a friend of ours and I did when we were young and had more bravery than common sense. But I'm glad we did because at the end of the tunnels, there was this huge cavern filled with the bluest bubbling warm water I'd ever seen. Like a hot spring? Hushed conversations drifted out from the areas full of shadows, quieting as we passed by. Yes and no. The water back home, there's really no comparison. Where are... Glancing down a path where I heard soft sounds, I swallowed hard and quickly looked away. I became even more aware of the feeling of his hand against mine, the rough calluses on his palms, and the strength in his grip. I thought about that heavy, spicy, and smoky sensation I'd felt from him earlier. Where are you from? A little village I'm sure you've never heard of, he said, squeezing my hand. We'd sneak off to the cavern every chance we got, the three of us. It was like our own little world, and at the time, there were a lot of things happening. Things that were too adult and grown up for us to understand then. His voice had taken on a far-off quality, as if he were in a different space and time. We needed that escape, where we could go and not worry about what could be stressing our parents, and fretting over all the whispered conversations we didn't quite understand. We knew enough to know they were a harbinger of something bad. It was our haven. He stopped and looked down at me. Much like this garden was yours. The veiled maiden fountain was only a few feet from us, the sound of trickling water surrounding us. I lost both of them, he said, his eyes shadowed, but his gaze no less powerful. My brother when we were younger, and then my best friend a few years after that. The place that was once filled with happiness and adventure had turned into a graveyard of memories. I couldn't even think about going back there without them. It was like the place became haunted. I didn't need to open my senses to know that the pain was festering in him. And it wasn't exactly a good idea to use my ability twice on him, especially when it was evolving. But through our connected hands, I dwelled on the all-too-shallow well of happy thoughts and let it briefly flow through him. I felt his hand tremble slightly, and then I spoke, hoping to distract him. I understand. I keep looking around and thinking that the garden should look different. Assuming there'd be a visible change to represent how it now feels to me. Hawk cleared his throat. But it is the same, isn't it? I nodded. It took me a very long time to work up the nerve to go back to the cavern. I felt that way, too. Like the water surely must have turned muddy in my absence, dirty and cold. But it wasn't. It was still as calm, blue, and warm as it always was. Did you replace the sad memories with happy ones? I asked. A half smile appeared in the sliver of moonlight cutting across his face as he shook his head. The lines of his face had relaxed. I haven't gotten a chance, but I plan to. I hope you do, I said, knowing that as a royal guard, it likely wouldn't be possible for many years to come. The breeze tossed a strand of hair across my shoulders and chest. I'm sorry about your brother and friend.
Thank you. He looked up to the star-blanketed sky and said, I know it's not like what happened here to Rylan, but I do understand how it feels.
I lowered my gaze to where his hand still held mine. My grip was loose and yet rigid, fingers sticking out instead of gripping. I wanted to curl the digits around his. Sometimes I think it's a blessing that I was young when Ian and I lost our parents. My memories of them are faint, and because of that, there's this, I don't know, level of detachment? As wrong as this will sound, I'm lucky in a way. It makes dealing with their loss easier because it's almost as if they're not real. It's not like that for Ian. He has a lot more memories than I do.
It's not wrong, Princess. I think it's just the way the mind and heart work, he said. You haven't seen your brother at all since he left for the capital.
I shook my head. He writes as often as he can, usually once a month, but I haven't seen him since the morning he left. Pressing my lips together, I curled my fingers around his, and my stomach dipped a little. He wasn't holding my hand any longer. We were holding hands. To a lot of people, that would be nothing. Some would probably even find it silly. But it was huge to me, and I cherished it. I miss him. I lifted my gaze, discovering that Hawk was looking down at me. I'm sure you miss your brother, and I hope you see him again. His head tilted slightly, and his mouth opened as if he were about to say something, but then it closed. A moment passed, and he lifted his other hand, catching a strand of my hair. I sucked in a startled, sharp breath as a wave of shivers followed the glide of his knuckles across the bare skin above my chest. Those shivers didn't stop there. They traveled down to below my breasts and lower. Flushed, I dropped his hand and stepped back, turning away. My pulse thrumming, I clasped my fingers together. Was it normal to have such a strong response to a brush of the skin? I wasn't sure, but I couldn't imagine that it was. I took a few steps, searching for something to say, anything. I cleared my throat. My favorite place in the garden is the night-blooming roses. There's a bench there, I rambled on. I used to come out almost every night to see them open. They were my favorite flower, but now I have a hard time even looking at the ones cut and placed in bouquets.
Do you want to go there now?
Hawk asked. No more than a foot behind me. I thought about it, about the silky black petals and the deep violet blooms of the jacaranda trees, and the blood that had pooled on the pathway. The way it had filled the cracks in the stone reminded me of a different night. I don't think so.
Would you like to see my favorite place?
I glanced over my shoulder as he came to stand by my side. You have a favorite place?
Yes.
He extended his hand once more.
Want to see?
Knowing I shouldn't, but somehow unable to stop myself, I placed my hand in his. Hawk was quiet as he led me around the fountain and down the main path. It wasn't until he veered off to the left where the mild, sweet scent of lavender filled the air that I knew where he was leading me. The willow. At the very edge of the southern side of the Queen's Garden was a large, several hundred-year-old weeping willow. Its branches nearly reached the ground, creating a thick canopy. In the warmer months, tiny white blossoms clung to the leaves. You're a fan of the weeping willow? I asked as it came into view. Several lanterns hung from poles outside the willow, the flames still inside the glass enclosures. He nodded.
Never saw one until I got here.
I wasn't surprised that he hadn't seen one in the capital. The trees with their shallow roots were known to break through the ground, but I wondered what village he had lived in that had farming and caverns, but no weeping willows. Ian and I used to play inside. No one could see us.
Play? Or do you mean hide?
He asked, because that's what I would have done. I cracked a grin. Well, yes, I would hide, and Ian would tag along like any good big brother. I looked up at him.
Have you gone under it?
There are branches, but you can't see them now. I frowned. Actually, anyone could be under there right now, and we wouldn't know.
No one is under there.
My brows lifted above the mask. How can you be sure?
I just am. Come on.
He tugged on my hand as he strode forward. Watch your step. I wondered if his certainty had to do with his excellent tracking skills. I easily navigated the low stone wall, trailing behind him as we passed one of the lanterns. Hawk reached out with his free hand, brushing aside several of the leafy branches. I stepped inside, and within a handful of seconds, we were pitched into almost complete darkness as the branches drifted back into place. The moonlight couldn't break through the heavy fall, and only the faintest glow from the nearby lanterns seeped into the willow. I looked around, seeing only the outline of the trunk. Gods, I forgot how dark it is in here at night.
It feels like you're in a different world under here, he commented, as if we've stepped through a veil and into an enchanted world.
I grinned, his words reminding me of Ian. You should see it when it's warmer. The leaves bloom. Oh, or when it snows and at dusk. The flakes dust the leaves and the ground, but not a lot makes it inside here. Then it really is like a different world.
Maybe we'll see it.
You think so?
Why not?
He asked, and I sensed his body angle toward mine. When he spoke next, I felt his breath against my forehead.
It will snow, will it not? We'll sneak off just before dusk and come out here.
Fully aware of how close he was standing now, I nervously dampened my lips. But will we be here? The queen could summon me to the capital before then, I said, acknowledging something I had tried not to think of.
Possibly. If so, then I guess we'll have to find different adventures, won't we?
He said.
Or should I call them misadventures?
I laughed then. I think it will be hard to sneak off anywhere in the capital. Not with me. Not with me being so close to the ascension.
You need to have more faith in me if you think I can't manage to find a way for us to sneak off. I can assure you that whatever I get us involved in won't end with you on a ledge.
In the darkness, I thought I felt his fingertips caress my left cheek, but the touch was too soft and too brief to be sure.
We're out here on the night of the rite, hidden inside a weeping willow.
It didn't seem all that difficult.
That's only because I was leading the way.
I laughed again.
Sure, your doubt wounds me.
His hand pulled on mine as he turned away.
You said there were benches in here?
Wait, I see them. I stared at the shadowy form of what I assumed was the back of his head. How in the world do you see those benches?
You can't?
No. I squinted into the gloom.
Then I must have better eyesight than you.
I rolled my eyes. I think you're just saying you can see them, and we're probably a second away from tripping.
Here they are.
Hawk stopped. Unbelievably, he sat down as if he could perfectly see the seats. I was left staring, my mouth hanging open. Then I realized that it was quite possible he could see me gaping like a dying fish, so I closed my mouth. Maybe his eyesight was better than mine.
Or my eyesight was poorer than I realized. Would you like to sit?
He asked. I would, but unlike you, I can't see in the dark. I gasped as he tugged on my hand, pulling me down. Before I knew it, I was sitting in his lap. His lap!
Comfortable?
He asked, and he sounded like he was smiling. I had no words. He was still holding my hand, and I was sitting on his lap, and all I could think about was that part in Willa Collins' journal where she described being in a man's lap. There had been less clothing.
You can't be comfortable.
One of his arms folded around my upper back, pulling my side against his chest.
There, that has to be much better.
It was, and it wasn't.
I don't want you getting too cold,
he added, his breath warm against my temple. He was so much taller, even sitting as straight as I was. My head still didn't reach his chin.
I feel like that's an important part of my duty as your personal guard.
Is that what you're doing right now? Protecting me from the cold by pulling me into your lap?
Exactly.
His hand was against my side, the weight like a brand. I stared at what I thought might be his throat. This is incredibly inappropriate.
More inappropriate than you reading a dirty journal.
Yes, I insisted, heat creeping into my face.
No.
His deep chuckle rumbled through me.
I can't even lie. This is inappropriate.
Then why?
Why?
His chin grazed the top of my head.
Because I wanted to.
I blinked once and then twice. Another chuckle sent an acute shiver through me.
Princess, I'm confident that if you didn't want me to do something, I'd be lying flat on my back with a dagger at my throat before I even took my next breath. Even if you can't see an inch in front of you.
Well,
you have your dagger on you, don't you?
I sighed. I do.
Knew it.
He let go of my hand, and I let mine fall to my lap.
No one can see us. No one is even aware that we're here. As far as anyone knows, you are in your room.
This is still reckless for a multitude of reasons. If someone comes in here,
I'd hear them before they did, he said.
Before I could voice that his hearing couldn't be as special as his sight, he added,
and if someone did, they'd have no idea who we are.
I drew my head back, putting space between my upper body and his.
Is this why you led me out here to this place? What is this, princess?
To be inappropriate?
And why would I do that?
He asked, his voice dropping low as his hand touched my arm.
Why? I think it's pretty obvious.
Hawk, I'm sitting in your lap. I doubt that's how you normally hold innocent conversations with people.
Very rarely is anything I do innocent, princess.
Shocker, I muttered.
So, you're suggesting I led you out here instead of toward a private room with a bed?
He dragged the tips of his fingers down my right arm.
To engage in a particular type of inappropriate behavior?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Though my room would have been a better option. My heart had already started pounding the moment my rear ended up in his lap. Now it felt as if it were going to explode out of my chest.
What if I said that isn't true?
My stomach fluttered as his fingers found their way to my hip. I wouldn't believe you.
Then what if I said, it didn't start off that way?
His thumb moved against my hip.
But then there was the moonlight, and you with your hair down in this dress. And then the idea occurred to me that this would be the perfect location for some wildly inappropriate behavior.
Then I would say that's more likely. His hand glided over the thin, gauzy material of the gown.
So there you have it.
At least you're honest. I bit down on my lip as the fluttering deepened. This was dangerous. Even if no one discovered us, it felt like tempting fate with the gods. A few stolen kisses, all right, a little more than a few stolen kisses, was possibly forgivable. But this? Even those stolen kisses weren't forgivable, at least according to the Duke and Duchess. And the queen. Then again, if the gods were to intervene, wouldn't they have done so already? I thought about what Tawny had once said about not being sure whether the rules imposed on me were a decree from the gods. And if I had interpreted what the Duchess had said about the First Maiden correctly, she'd done a lot of forbidden things. She'd been found unworthy.
Tell you what, I'll make you a deal.
A deal?
If I do anything you don't like.
Hawk's hand slid down my thigh, causing my breath to catch. Through the dress, his hand closed over the dagger.
I give you my permission to stab me.
That would be excessive.
I was hoping you'd give me just a measly flesh wound,
he added.
But it'd be worth finding out.
I grinned. You are such a bad influence.
I think we've already established that only the bad can be influenced.
And I think I already told you that your logic is faulty, I repeated, closing my eyes as his fingers followed the outline of the sheathed blade. Another hot, tight shiver curled its way down my spine, and I had the sudden urge to squeeze my legs together. Somehow I refrained. I resisted him, despite knowing how I would have let him kiss me the night before. I'm the Maiden Hawk, I reminded him. Or myself, I wasn't sure.
And I don't care.
My eyes flew open in shock. I can't believe you just said that.
I did, and I'll say it again. I don't care what you are.
Hawk's hand slid off my back. A moment later, I felt his palm flatten against my cheek with unerring accuracy.
I care about who you are.
Oh gods. My chest swelled so fast and full. It was a small miracle that I didn't float right up out of his lap and into the willow. What he'd said? It had to be the sweetest and most perfect thing anyone could say. Why? I demanded, almost wishing he hadn't spoken those words. Why would you say that?
Are you seriously asking me that?
Yes, I am. It doesn't make sense.
You don't make sense.
I hit his shoulder or chest, some extremely hard part of him. Hawk grunted.
Ouch!
I so did not hit him hard enough for that. You're fine. I'm bruised. You're ridiculous, I retorted. And it's you who makes no sense.
I'm the one sitting here being honest. You're the one hitting me. How do I not make sense?
Because this whole thing makes no sense. Frustration rose swiftly through me, and I started to stand. But the hand on my hip stopped me. Or I let it stop me, I wasn't sure. And that was even more irritating. You could be spending time with anyone, Hawk. Any number of people you wouldn't have to hide in a willow tree to be with.
And yet, I'm here with you. And before you even begin to think it's because of my duty to you, it's not. I could have just walked you back to your room and stayed out in the hall.
That's my point. It makes no sense. You can have a slew of willing participants in whatever this is. It would be easy, I said. Pretty Britta came to mind. I was sure he'd had her. You can't have me. I'm unhavable.
I'm confident that's not even a word.
That's not the point. I'm not allowed to do this, any of this. I shouldn't have done what I did at the Red Pearl, I continued. It doesn't matter if I want,
and you do want.
His whisper danced over my cheek. What you want is me. My breath caught. That doesn't matter.
What you want should always matter.
A short, harsh laugh left me. It doesn't. And that's another thing that isn't the point. You could...
I heard you the first time, Princess. You're right. I could find someone who would be easier.
His fingers traced the line of my mask from my right ear and along my cheek. I had no idea how he could see.
Ladies or lords in wait, who aren't burdened by rules or limitations, who aren't maidens I'm sworn to protect. There are a lot of ways I could occupy my time that don't include explaining in great detail why I'm choosing to be where I am with whom I choose. The corners of my lips started to turn down. The thing is, he went on, none of them intrigue me. You do.
You intrigue me.
It's really that simple for you? I asked, wanting to believe him and also not. His forehead rested against mine, startling me.
Nothing is ever simple, and when it is, it's rarely ever worth it.
Then why?
I'm beginning to believe that's your favorite question.
Maybe. My lips twitched. It's just that, gods, there are a lot of reasons why I don't understand how you can be this intrigued. You've seen me. My face heated, and I sincerely hoped he couldn't see it. I hated saying it, but it was a reality. You've seen what I look like.
I have, and I think you already know what I think. I said it in front of you, in front of the Duke, and I told you outside the Great Hall.
I know what you said, and I'm not bringing up what I look like for you to shower me with compliments. It's just, gods, I wished I hadn't said anything. I shook my head. Never mind. Forget I said that.
I can't. I won't.
Great, I muttered.
You're just used to assholes like the Duke, he said.
And what sounded like a growl rumbled from him.
He may be an ascended, but he's worthless.
My heart dropped. You shouldn't say things like that, Hawk.
I'm not afraid to speak the truth. He may be powerful, but he's just a weak man who proves his strength by attempting to humiliate those more powerful than he is. Someone like you, with your strength, it makes him feel incompetent, which he is. And your scars, they are a testament to your fortitude. They are proof of what you survived. They are evidence of why you are here when so many twice your age wouldn't be. They are not ugly, far from it. They are beautiful, Poppy.
Poppy. That's the third time you've called me that, I said.
Fourth, he corrected, and I blinked. We're friends, aren't we? Only your friends and your brother call you that. And you may be the maiden, and I'm a royal guard, but all things considered, I would hope that you and I are friends.
We are, and we were. His hand flattened against my cheek, and a sigh shuddered through him.
And I'm not being a good friend or guard right now. I'm not.
His hand slid, and his fingers curled around the nape of my neck for a few seconds before he slipped his hand away.
I really should get you back to your room. It's getting late.
I exhaled raggedly. It is. He was going to take me back, to that room where I was the maiden, the chosen. Back to where I wasn't Poppy, but a shadow of a person who wasn't allowed to experience, need, live, or want. I would no longer be who he saw. Hawk, I whispered, my heart crashing like thunder. Kiss me, please. Chapter 25. Hawk had gone so still against me that I wasn't sure if he even took a breath. My request had shocked him, shocked me. I think I might have stopped breathing.
Gods, he breathed, and one hand returned to my cheek. You don't have to ask me twice, princess, and you never have to beg.
Before I had a chance to respond, his lips brushed over mine. I gasped at the soft contact, and I swore I could feel his lips curve against mine in a smile. I wished I could see it, because it seemed like a full grin, the kind that lifted both sides of his mouth and made both dimples appear. But then he moved his mouth along mine, painstakingly slow, as if he were mapping out the curve of my lips with his. I held completely still, my heart feeling like a trapped butterfly,
as he retraced the path he'd just made. Tiny shivers hit every part of my body. I trembled as my hands curled into the front of his tunic, no doubt wrinkling the fine material. This touch was barely a kiss, but gods, the gentleness, the sweetness of it shook me, rattled me to the core. Then Hawk tilted his head, increasing the pressure, deepening the kiss. Suddenly everything changed. This kiss, its rawness, left me breathless, resulted in both of us gasping when we parted, our chests rising and falling quickly. I couldn't see his eyes in the dark, but I could feel his penetrating stare. I wasn't thinking about what I was in those seconds. I wasn't thinking about what was forbidden and what was right. I wasn't thinking at all, truth be told, and I didn't know who moved first. Hawk? Me? Both of us at the very same moment? Our lips touched again, and this time there was no hesitation. There was just want. So much of it, and 100 other powerful, forbidden things that pounded through me. His lips scorched mine, heated my blood, and set fire to my senses. His hands moved to my shoulders, sliding down my arms. Hawk shuddered, and a sound emerged from the back of his throat, sort of like a half-growl, half-moan. It sent little shivers of pleasure and panic darting through me as he parted my lips. The hunger behind our kiss should have scared me, and maybe it did a little, because it felt like too much, and not nearly enough all at the same time. I moaned as his hands drifted down my sides. It felt like my body was sparking, igniting. He gripped my waist, lifting me and settling me again, so my knees fell on either side of his hips, with me pressed against him. His breeches and my gown served as no real barrier. I could feel him, and I shuddered as a sharp, pulsing ache throbbed through me. His answering moan, another deep, rough sound, shattered whatever hesitancy I had. I placed my hands on his chest, marveling at the way his body jerked as I slid them up over his shoulders and then around his neck. Then I did what I'd wished I'd done at the Red Pearl. I sank my fingers into his hair, and the strands were as soft as I'd thought they would be. No other part of him felt that way. He was all hard heat against me. Hawk's arms moved around me, pulling me so tightly against him that there was barely any space between us. He kissed me again, kept kissing me, and I knew this was more than a kiss. It went beyond that. Beyond how he felt and how he made me feel. His words had touched the deepest part of me, and it was thrilling. I felt alive, like I was finally waking up, and I never wanted it to stop. Not with the rush of sensations flowing through me. I knew in the back of my mind that I'd lost control of my gift. My shields were wide open. And there was no way to tell if what I felt belonged to him, or me, or both of us. Instinct took over, guiding my body, my hips to push and roll. And he shuddered again, catching my bottom lip between his. He grabbed fistfuls of the skirt of my gown, lifting until his hands touched my calves. A tremor went through me like lightning. "Remember," he said against my lips, as his palms glided up to the curve of my knees. "Anything you don't like, say the word and I'll stop." I nodded, seeking his mouth in the darkness. When I found him, I wondered how I'd made it this long without kissing him again. I wondered how I could go on without doing it more. That thought threatened to dampen the heat, but his hands were moving again, skimming over my skin and sending a rush of heated blood to every part of my body. I shifted forward until our hips were melded together. I moved, we moved, and I thought I whispered his name before I kissed him again. Slipping my tongue between his lips, against his teeth, Hawk jerked his head back, panting as he rested his forehead against mine.
Poppy,
he said in a way that made my name sound like both a prayer and a curse. Yes? My fingers opened and closed around the silky softness of his hair.
That was the fifth time I've said your name, in case you're still keeping track.
I grinned. I am.
Good.
He slipped his hands out from under my gown, and one of them found its way to my cheek. He traced the edge of my mask, surprising me yet again with his sight.
I don't think I was being honest a few moments ago.
About what? I loosened my grip on his hair, lowering my hands to his shoulders.
About stopping,
he admitted quietly, drawing his fingers down my cheek and over my jaw.
I would stop, but I don't think you would stop me.
I'm not exactly understanding what you're saying. I let my eyes close. Despite being confused by his words and the fact that we weren't kissing, I liked the intimacy of how close we were and how his head rested against mine. He drew the tips of his fingers down the side of my neck.
Do you want me to be blunt?
I always want you to be honest. My senses were still open. I knew that because I felt a foreign sensation coming through the connection, but it was too brief for me to figure out what it was. And then he kissed my temple, and I thought about the odd, ashy feeling that had coated my throat.
I was seconds from taking you to the ground and becoming a very, very bad god.
Air caught in my throat as a pulse of warm heat went straight through me. I didn't know a lot, but I knew enough to know what he meant. Really?
Really,
he answered seriously. I should have felt relief that he'd stopped, and I did, but I also didn't. What I felt was a confusing mess, but I knew one thing for sure. I don't think I would have stopped you, I whispered. I would have let him take me to the ground, and I would have welcomed what he did, consequences be damned. Hawk's body shook as he moaned.
You're not helping.
I'm a bad maiden.
No,
he kissed my other temple.
You're a perfectly normal girl. What is expected of you is what's bad.
He paused.
And yes, you're also a very bad maiden.
Instead of being offended, because there was no way, even if I didn't count tonight, that I could deny that, I laughed and was rewarded by his arm coming back around me. Hawk pulled me back to his body, sliding his hand to my nape. I settled my cheek against his shoulder as his grip briefly tightened, and then his fingers moved, working the muscles of my neck. I wasn't sure how long we stayed like that, quiet and hidden away under the willow, but I did know that it was far past the point where my blood had cooled and my heart had slowed. I didn't move then. And neither did Hawk. I thought that maybe being held like this, so close and so tight, felt just as good as the kissing and the touching. Perhaps even better, but in a different way. But it was getting late, and unsurprisingly, Hawk was the responsible one. He kissed the crown of my head, causing my heart to squeeze in a way that was so sweet it was almost painful.
I need to get you back, princess.
I know, but still I held on to him. He chuckled, and I grinned into his shoulder.
You have to let me go, though.
I know, I sighed, yet I remained where I was, thinking that the moment we stepped outside of the willow, we would be back in the real world. No longer in our haven, where I was Poppy, and who I was mattered. I don't want to. He was silent for so long that I feared I'd said the wrong thing. But then his arm tightened around me again. When he spoke, his voice was strangely rough.
Neither do I.
I almost asked why we had to, but I managed to stop myself. Hawk stood then, taking me with him, and I reluctantly lowered my legs. We stood there for another all too short moment.
his arm around me, my arms stretched above me, and our bodies still connected. Then I took a deep breath, opened my eyes, and took a step back. I couldn't see him, but I wasn't surprised when his hand found mine and he led me toward the willow branches. He stopped.
Ready?
Not at all, but I said yes, and we walked out from underneath the willow, my chest threatening to become heavy. I refused to let that happen, at least not right this moment. I had all night for everything I felt to become memories. I had many nights ahead for that. We found our way back to the gas lamp lit walkway, the garden silent except for the sound of the wind and our steps. I looked down the shadowy paths, wondering what had happened to the hushed conversations and soft moans. We rounded the corner, nearing the fountain, and came face to face with Victor, sans mask. My heart lurched in my chest as I stumbled back a step. Hawk turned as if to catch me, but I gained my footing. "Oh my gods," I whispered, looking up at Victor. "You about gave me a heart attack." He stared at me for a long moment and then turned to Hawk. A muscle in his jaw clenched as he looked down to where Hawk still held my hand. "Oh, shit." Slowly, Victor looked up while I tried to pull my hand free. Hawk held on for a moment and then let go. I clasped my hands together, my eyes wide behind my mask. "It's time to go back to your room, maiden," Victor bit out, voice low. I winced at his tone.
"I was in the process of escorting Penelope back to her room," Hawk replied.
Victor's head snapped in his direction.
"I know exactly what you were in the process of doing."
My mouth dropped open.
"Doubtful,"
Hawk murmured, which was the wrong thing to say.
"You think I don't know?"
Victor stepped into Hawk's space, and while Hawk was an inch or two taller, they were eye to eye.
"It only takes one look at both of you to know."
"One look at both of us?" Blinking, I lifted my fingers to my lips that were still humming and felt puffy. My gaze flew to Hawk's mouth. His lips did look swollen. Hawk held his ground, and Victor's stare. I really had no idea what he could say.
"Nothing happened, Victor."
"Well,
nothing," Victor snarled. "Boy, I may have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night."
I blinked.
"Thanks for pointing out the obvious," Hawk retorted, "but you're stepping way over the line."
"I am?" Victor laughed. But there was no humor to the sound. "Do you understand what she is?" he demanded, voice so low it was barely audible. "Do you even understand what you could have caused if anyone other than I had come upon you two?" I stepped forward.
"Victor, I know exactly who she is,"
Hawk shot back.
"Not what she is. Maybe you've forgotten that she's not just a god's damn inanimate object whose only purpose is to serve a kingdom. But I haven't."
"Hawk!" I whirled on him.
"Oh yeah, that's rich coming from you. How do you see her, Hawk?"
Victor stepped in more. Suddenly, they were as close as Hawk and I had been under the willow.
"Another notch in your bedpost?"
I gasped, spinning back around. "Victor!"
"Is it because she's the ultimate challenge?"
Victor continued, and my lips parted. Hawk's chin dipped.
"I get that you're protective of her. I understand that. But I'll tell you just one more time. You're way out of line. And I'll promise you this. It will be over my dead body before you spend another moment alone with her."
Hawk smiled then, one side of his lips curling up. There was no dimple. His features seemed to sharpen in the moonlight, creating shadows under his eyes and on his cheekbones. "She thinks of you as a father," he said, his voice so soft it sent a chill down my spine. "It would hurt her greatly if something unfortunate were to happen to you."
"Is that a threat?"
Victor's brows lifted. I'm just letting you know that is the only reason I'm not making your promise come true this very second, he warned. But you need to step back. If you don't, someone is going to get hurt, and that someone won't be me. Then, Poppy will get upset. He turned to me. And that's the sixth time I've said it, he added, and all I could do was stare at him. I don't want to see her upset, so step the fuck back.
Both of you need to stop, I whispered, grabbing Victor's arm, but he didn't budge. Seriously, this is escalating over nothing, please.
They didn't look away from each other, and it was almost like I wasn't there. Finally, Victor stepped back, and I didn't know if he saw something in Hawk's face or if it was me tugging on his arm, but he took another step away, his skin unusually pale in the moonlight.
I'll be guarding her for the rest of the evening, Victor stated. You're dismissed.
Hawk smirked, and I shot him a glare he didn't even seem to notice. He said nothing as Victor took my arm and turned. I went with him, having taken only a couple of steps before I looked over my shoulder. The space where Hawk had stood was empty. I looked around quickly, not seeing him. Where had he?
I don't even know what to say to you right now, Victor stated.
Gods! After I finished talking to the commander, I couldn't find you, but I ran into Tawny. She said you returned to your room. I went back to check on you, and you weren't there. I figured you could be here. But I did not expect to find this. It seemed as if he knew exactly what he wanted to say.
Damn it, Poppy! You know better than this. You know what's at risk. And I'm not talking about the fucking kingdom.
Hearing him curse caught my attention. I looked up as he stalked along, bringing me with him.
If anyone had seen you with him, missing a few days of training would have been the least of my fears.
He went on, and my stomach dropped.
And Hawk knows better. Damn it, he never should have laid a hand.
Nothing happened, Victor.
Bullshit, Poppy. You looked like you'd been thoroughly kissed. I hope that was all.
Oh my gods, I exclaimed, my face flaming.
Don't lie to me.
We were coming back in to go to my room. Victor stopped, looking down at me with wide eyes and lifted eyebrows.
Not what you're thinking, I insisted, and that was the truth.
Please, just let me explain what happened, I said, desperately trying to figure out how to fix this.
I don't think I want to know.
I ignored that. After you left to speak to the commander, I felt bad because Tawny wouldn't leave my side. I knew that as long as I stayed at the right, she would feel as if she had to stay with me. So I told her I was going back to my room so she could have fun.
That doesn't explain how you ended up here with him.
I was getting to that, I said, trying to be patient. Hawk knew I didn't want to go back to my room. And he knew how much I used to love the gardens. So he brought me out so I could get past what happened here with Rylan. That's why we were out here.
I feel like you're leaving out a lot.
At this point, I knew I couldn't continue lying, at least not about everything. We walked around, and Hawk showed me a place he enjoyed in the garden. I asked him to kiss me. Victor looked away, jaw locking. And we did kiss, okay? It happened, but that was all. He stopped it before it went any further. I told him, speaking the truth. I know I shouldn't have asked him.
He shouldn't have been so willing to oblige you.
That's not the point.
That is the point, Poppy.
No, it's not. I pulled my arm free, closing my hands into fists before I picked something up and threw it. He's not the damn point. Shock flickered over his face. I made an effort to lower my voice.
This whole stupid thing is the point. The fact that I can't do anything is the point. That I can't have one night to do something normal and fun and enjoyable. That I can't experience anything without being warned to remember what I am. that every privilege you have and Tawny has and everyone else has, I don't have. My voice cracked as the back of my throat started to burn. I have nothing. His expression softened. Poppy. No. I took a step back, his features blurring. You don't understand. I can't celebrate my birthdays because that's ungodly. I'm not allowed to go to picnics at the Grove or to supper with others because I'm the maiden. I'm not allowed to defend myself because that would be unseemly. I don't even know how to ride a horse. Nearly every book is forbidden to me. I can't socialize or make friends because my sole purpose is to serve the kingdom by going to the gods. Something no one will even explain. What does that actually mean? Breathing heavily, I tried to rein my emotions back in, but I couldn't. Something in me snapped, broke wide open, and I couldn't stop. I don't even know if I have a future beyond my ascension. In less than a year, or even sooner, I may lose every chance I have to do everything everyone else takes for granted. I have no life, Victor. Nothing.
Poppy, he whispered.
Everything has been taken from me. My free will, my choice, my future, and I still have to suffer through the Duke's lessons. I spat out, shuddering. I still have to stand there and let him hit me. Let him look at me and touch me. Do whatever he or the Lord wants. Sucking in a fiery, painful breath, I lifted my hands, grabbing fistfuls of my hair, pulling them back as Victor closed his eyes. I have to stand there and take it. I can't even scream or cry. I can do nothing. So I'm sorry that choosing something that I want for myself is such a disappointment to you, the kingdom, and everyone else, and the gods. Where is the honor in being the maiden? What exactly should I be proud of? Who would want this? Point me in their direction, and I'll gladly switch places with them. It should be no shock that I want to be found unworthy. The moment those words left my mouth, I smacked my hands over my lips. Victor's eyes snapped open, and for a long moment we stared at one another, the truth a double-edged sword between us.
Poppy.
Victor looked around and then reached for me.
It's okay. It's going to be okay.
I danced out of his reach, curling my fingers against my mouth. It wasn't fine. It wasn't going to be all right. I'd said it. The truth. Out loud. Heart thumping and stomach churning, I turned and started walking toward the castle. I thought I might be sick. I want to go back to my chambers, I whispered, lowering my hands. Victor started to speak. Please, I just want to go back to my room. He didn't respond, thank the gods, but he followed directly behind me. All I could focus on was putting one foot in front of the other. If I didn't, the angry, messy, and violent ball of emotion lodged in my throat would erupt. I would erupt. That was how I felt. I would explode everywhere in a shower of sparks and flames. And I didn't care what I looked like when we entered the hall and moved into the light, or what people saw if they looked at me and realized that I was the maiden. My entire body was trembling with the force to keep. A loud cracking sound reminding me of wood splintering drew us to a halt. We turned to the great hall just as a shout sounded, followed by screams, piercing screams, one after another. My heart stopped. Someone, a lady in wait, backed out of the great hall, her red gown fluttering around her feet as she pressed her hands to her mouth. Victor started toward the entryway but stopped. He turned to me, and I knew he was going to take me back to my room. But the screams kept coming, followed by shouts of panic and horror. Another joined the lady in wait, then another, a servant carrying an empty tray. He turned and vomited. What happened? I demanded, but no one answered. No one could hear me over the screams. My wide gaze met Victor's. Tawny is in there. The set to his jaw said that he couldn't care less. He moved to grab me, but I was fast because he'd taught me how to be when I needed speed.
I evaded his reach as I raced for the entryway, his muttered curse ringing in my ears. A rush of people came out of the entryway, knocking into my shoulder. A blur of masked faces came from every direction. I was thrust to the side, my slippered feet slipping on the polished floors, but I pushed forward. Tawny was still in there. That was all I could think as I broke through the panicked crowd. I slid to a stop, my gaze landing on the dais, to what was behind the dais. "Oh, my gods," I whispered. I knew what had made the cracking sound. One of the wooden rods that held the heavy banners had cracked. The right banner had fallen, pooling on the floor of the dais, but red still streaked the wall. I saw what had broken the rod, what hung from the remaining one. Rope stretched arms upward, and so much red streaked pale skin. I knew who it was. I knew why the Duchess stood in the center of the great hall, her arms at her sides, and why everyone else was frozen in shock. It was the hair so blonde that it almost looked white. It was the Duke. Even from where I stood, I knew what had been shoved into his chest, through his heart. I would recognize it anywhere. It was the cane he'd lashed me with. And above him, written in red, in blood, was the mark of the Dark One. From blood and ash, we will rise. Chapter 26. The Duke of Macedonia was dead, murdered. I couldn't pull my gaze from him, not even when I became aware of Victor coming to stand beside me. He said something, but I couldn't hear him over the pounding of my own heart. The Duke had been staked through the chest in the same manner the cursed or a craven would be killed, with wood fashioned from a tree that had grown in the blood forest. Dumbly, I wondered how someone could get the cane through the Duke's chest. The ends were not sharp, but smooth and rounded. The effort and strength that would have required, not to mention the Duke would have fought back unless he'd been incapacitated beforehand. Only an Atlantean could have accomplished that. Victor touched my arm, and slowly I tore my gaze from the Duke's remains. "He's dead," I said. "He's really dead." A very inappropriate giggle welled up, and I clamped my mouth shut as I turned back to where the Duke was impaled. I didn't think it was funny. Not at all. I didn't like the man. Frankly, I hated him with every fiber of my being. But an Atlantean had gotten into Castle Tierman yet again, and that was frightening. Because of that, this wasn't funny. It also wasn't sad. Gods, I truly was unworthy, and probably a terrible person, but I sighed softly, a sound of relief passing my lips. No more lessons, no more lingering stares and touches. No more pain at his hands, no more heavy, sticky shame. My gaze shifted to where a tall, dark-haired ascendant joined the Duchess. No more Lord Mazine. Without the Duke, he had little sway over me, and I almost smiled again. Movement to my left snagged my attention, and I turned, seeing Tawny pushing through a group of ascended and the lords and ladies in wait. She hurried across the room, her eyes wide behind her mask. Curls bounced off her cheeks as she shook her head. "I can't believe what I'm seeing." She clasped my hands, glancing toward the dais. Shuddering, she quickly looked back at me. "This can't be real." "It's real." I turned to the dais once more. Guards were trying to get the Duke down, but he was too far up on the wall. "They need a ladder."
"What?"
Tawny whispered.
"A ladder. They're not going to be able to reach him,"
I pointed out. I could feel Tawny's gaze on me. "Do you think he was up there for the whole rite? The entire time?"
"I don't even know what to think."
She turned so her back was to the dais.
"At all."
"At least we know why he didn't show," I said.
"Poppy,"
she exclaimed in a low voice.
"Sorry.
I watched the Duchess turn to the Lord, her lips moving fast.
The Duchess doesn't seem all that torn up, does she?
Victor stepped in then. I think it's time that I get you back to your chambers.
It probably was, so I nodded and started to turn. Glass shattered. I spun toward the sound as pieces flew through the air. It was one of the windows facing the garden. Tawny's grip tightened on my arm. Another window broke, this time to our left, and we both whirled to see shards piercing, cutting into the group standing there. The gathering Tawny had been a part of. Screams of shock gave way to ones of pain as jagged chunks of glass sliced into skin. A girl stumbled out from the scattering group, her hands trembling as she lifted them to her bloodied face. Numerous tiny cuts marked her cheeks and brow. It was Lauren. She doubled over, screaming, as the blonde girl in front of her slowly turned around. Glass jutted from her eye, and red streamed down her face. She crumpled like a paper sack.
Tafina, cried Tawny, letting go of my arm and starting toward her.
I snapped out of the shock and lurched forward, grabbing Tawny's arm as a lord in wait dropped to his knees and fell forward. Had he been hit by glass too? I wasn't sure. She cranked her head around.
What? I have to go to her. She needs help.
No. I pulled her back while Lauren went to her friend, trying to get her to stand, to move. Another window exploded. You can't go near the windows. I'm sorry, you can't. Tawny's eyes glistened.
But
something whizzed through the air, striking a lord. The impact spun him around and Tawny screamed. An arrow had struck him through the eye. He was an ascended, but he went down, dead before he hit the floor. Blood pooled under him. The ascended could die. Their head and heart were as vulnerable as a mortal's, and whoever had released that arrow knew just that. Short sword unsheathed, Victor shoved Tawny and I behind him as the Duchess, surrounded by royal guards, screamed,
"Get her out of here! Now! Get—"
An arrow pierced the royal guard standing in front of her. Blood spurted from his neck as he reached for the arrow, his mouth open and closing soundlessly.
Gods!
I staggered into Tawny as Victor turned us around and herded us toward the opening. We started forward as I reached for the dagger on my thigh. The shrieks that came from outside the great hall stopped all of this for just a handful of seconds. The sounds, pain, terror, death. Then a wave of people rushed the great hall, ascended and mortal, commoner and royal alike, all running toward us. The gowns and tunics of some were a deeper red now, faces either leached of color or splattered with crimson. Some fell before they made it to the steps, arrows and knives embedded deep into their backs. Others toppled down the stairs in their panicked run. We were about to be overrun. I didn't even reach for my dagger. I couldn't fight them. They weren't the enemy.
Shit!
Victor growled, spinning toward me as Tawny stood frozen. My eyes met his, and I knew what was about to happen. My heart dropped.
Protect the maiden,
he shouted. Grabbing hold of Tawny by both her arms, I tugged her against me and wrapped my arms around her, holding her as tightly as I could. Victor's arms went around me. Guards pressed in, and because of how close I held Tawny to my body, they were forced to form a barricade around both of us.
I'm scared,
Tawny whispered against my cheek.
It's okay,
I lied as I forced my eyes open, even though I wanted to close them. My heart slammed against my ribs. For a brief second, I prayed to the gods. I sent up a prayer that Hawk was nowhere near here, that he'd left to blow off some steam and had gone into the city.
Brace your...
It was like being hit by falling rocks. Bodies slammed into the guards from seemingly every direction, pushing them into Tawny and me. Hilts of swords cracked into ribs and other bones. Elbows knocked against flesh. Vases shattered. People broke. The crush of the crowd, of the hundreds who had fled the great hall and now returned, was too much.
It was as if a massive wave rolled across the floor, tearing free one guard and another, until I felt Victor's grip loosen. And then he was gone. And something, someone, hard hit me, crashed into Tawny and me. She was ripped away, carried off with the wave of screaming, shrieking people as they ran from whatever it was that had scared them. That was my last thought, as the room seemed to turn upside down. My feet left the floor and I experienced a boneless, airy moment. I saw the painted gods on the ceiling, then terror-stricken faces and blood and foam. I came back down, slipping and cracking my knees on the hard floor. I tried to push up, knowing I couldn't stay down. "Tawny!" I screamed, looking for her. But all I saw was red. Everywhere. A knee connected with my ribs, knocking the air out of my lungs. A booted foot landed on my back, slamming me to the floor. Pain shot down my spine. I scrambled blindly over spilled food, crushed roses, and gods, oh gods, over wet and warm bodies as I tried to stand. Something caught my skirt, causing me to fall forward. I came face to face with Dafina, and it seemed like time stopped as I stared down at her one beautiful blue eye, open and glazed over. That mask of hers, just as gaudy as Lauren's, more red than any other color now that it was drenched in blood. I reached forward, wanting to wipe the blood from the crystals. I saw Lauren then, curled into herself behind Dafina, her arms over her head. I scrambled forward, grabbing her arm, her head jerked up. Alive! She was alive! "Get up," I said, pulling on her as I struggled to stand. But something held me down. I looked over my shoulder and wished I hadn't. It was a body. I grabbed my skirt, ripping it. I turned back to Lauren as the faintest scent of something sulfuric, something acrid, reached me. My stomach dropped. "Get up! Get up! Get up!" "I can't," she cried. "I can't! I can't!" Screaming as someone fell over me, I grabbed Lauren by her dress, her arm, her hair, anything I could grab onto, and pulled her over Dafina. My senses had cracked wide open, and terror and pain came from her. Came from everywhere. I gained my footing. Hauling Lauren to her feet, I saw a pillar and headed for that. "See the pillar?" I asked Lauren. "We can stay there. We can hold on to it."
"My arm," she gasped. "I think it's broken."
"I'm sorry." I shifted my grip so it was around her waist.
"I need to get Dafina," she said. "I need to get her. She shouldn't be left like that. I need to get her."
A knot lodged in my throat as I kept pulling Lauren toward the pillar. I couldn't think of Dafina and that mask and that one beautiful remaining eye. I couldn't think about the bodies I crawled over. I couldn't. We're almost there. Someone fell into us, but I held on. Lauren held on, and we were almost there, just a few more steps, and then we'd be out of the crush. We'd be... Lauren jerked, and something wet and warm sprayed the right side of my face and my neck. Lauren's arms loosened, and I caught her, her sudden weight pulling at the tender skin around my ribs. "Hold on," I told her. "We're almost there." I looked down, peered at her because she was falling, and I couldn't hold her. She fell, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I refused to reconcile what I saw as I was jostled to the left and then to the right. There couldn't be an arrow through the back of her head, the fletching vibrating.
"We were almost there,"
I whispered. A piercing whistle sounded from outside, followed by another and another. Slowly, I lifted my chin and stared out into the shadows of the garden, some deeper and darker than others. They drew closer. I'd just been out there with Hawk. Had he gotten out in time? Or had he been felled by... I couldn't think like that. He must have left. He had to. Someone grabbed my arm, spinning me around.
"The side entrance."
Commander Jansen's face appeared in front of me.
"We must get to the side entrance now, maiden."